But let's pray as we begin. Father in heaven, we rebuke Satan and ask you to keep him and his angels far away from the sanctuary right now. May we study together in peace and in harmony. And may we have love for each other. And may you be glorified in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I would guess a 10 would be, you know, certainly the upper room experience would have been a 10, right? We're in Acts 1. Oh, I forgot to start my PowerPoint. Let's see if I can do this. Thank you. In Acts 1:14, it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Can you imagine being part of that prayer meeting? The answer to their prayer was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Has there been a more powerful answer to prayer than that? Than Pentecost? In the preface to Acts of the Apostles, it says, "In the book of Acts, God clearly indicates that the Christian today shall experience the presence of the same Spirit who came with power at Pentecost and fanned the gospel message into a flame. The acts of the Holy Spirit through Peter and Paul, John and James, and others can be repeated in the modern disciple." Hello, modern disciples. That's us. But it does say can be repeated, and I kind of wanted to study that some more. Sounds kind of optional, not sure. Now Joel 2:28 says, "In the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." That sounds like a promise. So anyway, time to study that for another sermon, I think. What happened in that upper room while they waited for the Holy Spirit power? I'd like to read two paragraphs from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. "The disciples prayed with intense earnestness for a fitness to meet men and in their daily interactions to speak words that would lead sinners to Christ, putting away all differences, all desire for the supremacy. They came close together in Christian fellowship. They drew nearer and nearer to God. And as they did this, they realized what a privilege had been theirs in being permitted to associate so closely with Christ. These days of preparation were days of deep heart searching. The disciples felt their spiritual need and cried to the Lord for the holy unction that was to fit them for the work of soul saving. They did not ask for a blessing for themselves merely. They were weighted with the burden of the salvation of souls. They realized that the gospel was to be carried to the world, and they claimed the power that Christ had promised. Dear God, instill in us a burden for souls. Fill us with love for each other and for our neighbors. Amen." Last week, Pastor Bade told us that failure to pray is passive support for the enemy. Ouch. That's harsh, but it sounds true, doesn't it? During Sabbath school last week, Sue Lee quoted 2 Chronicles 7:14, which is our prayer meditation song. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." And then Sue stated, we need prayer sessions specifically for this. Do you agree? A few months ago, someone suggested we dedicate ourselves to an upper room experience, put everything else aside, and just focus on praying for a spirit of unity and seeking God's will. We can do these kinds of things as a church, if you're interested. We have many prayer opportunities already in this church. As Elder Lee said, there's people listed in the bulletin. People listed in the bulletin here, we're praying for you. Are seeking your prayers and hope that you remember them during the week as well as on Sabbath. So let's remember to pray. And we just started, we also have Wednesday night prayer meeting where we've started reading through Acts of the Apostles. If you'd like to join us this week at 7 p.m., we'll be reviewing chapter 2. Judy Duncan has been leading lately, and she's determined to keep it to 1 hour, more or less. We have an active signal group started by Michael Davis called ST Prayer Ministry Group, where people post messages requesting prayer. If you don't know how to get onto that group, ask Michael or me or one of the others involved. You can do that on your smartphone or computer. We also have Sabbath morning prayer time that Tarlene started in the front of the sanctuary. Last week, one person came in, and I think it was about 9:40, and then they turned around, and I saw him, and she said, "I guess there's nobody here for prayer." And I said, "Oh, I'll pray with you," because I was going there. I had dropped something off first. And then I came up, and then someone else came up, Miriam, and the three of us started praying, and when we were done, there were 10 people there. So anyway, today there were 10 people too. Anyway, so that's another way. Maybe you know of other ways we could connect as a family in prayer or in service. What would make your prayer life a 10? Do you struggle to sense God's presence? That's one of the reasons we share testimonies, to encourage each other and build each other up through our stories. I've had times where I felt distant, I felt lost. I've questioned, where is God? And then I remember the time when I had that exact sense, that exact sense of aloneness. Yet God showed me that not only had he not forgotten me, but he had spent months arranging a huge life-changing task for me to accept. I'd like to share that sometime when we're not online. But I've learned it's not so much my grasp on my Heavenly Father that matters, but knowing that he has a firm grasp on me that keeps me inspired and full of hope. And then there are divine encounters, meetings arranged by God for a purpose. Was it a coincidence? While going door to door this week, we crossed paths with a man on the sidewalk named Peter. He was walking the other direction. He didn't want our flyer about the seminar that we're having this afternoon because he was in treatment for leukemia, and he didn't want anything to distract him from the course he was on. When I asked him if he would like us to pray for him, he eagerly accepted the offer. Right out there on the sidewalk, in what I assumed was his own neighborhood, he was willing to have us stand there in prayer with him. Maybe you can remember Peter in your prayers. I wonder how often we fulfill a divine appointment and we don't even realize it. Have you had divine appointments you can share today? I don't know if this would fall into the divine encounter category, but 2 years ago we went to alumni weekend at Mount Ellis Academy in Bozeman, Montana. A few weeks before the trip, Renee asked me to create a rack to hold cloth shopping bags she had created through her photography, which she was going to display and sell at the alumni craft sale. The craft sale is a fun way to see each person's talents, and it's an opportunity to raise money for the academy. Even though Renee gave me 3 weeks to perform this task, I suddenly realized I was down to 3 days and I had nothing. None of the ideas I'd thought about were working out. But now it's crunch time and finding a solution became a crisis. Fortunately, I don't throw anything away, aka hoarder. As I looked around, I discovered some buried, very dirty aluminum tubes that might do the trick. These were left from my years of installing aluminum wheelchair ramps for veterans. I also still had the hardware that would connect these sections together. Among my junk, I even had some aluminum brackets that looked like they would work perfectly to hold it at the end of the table. At the end of a table, I was guessing at the kind of table would be there, but it looked like four tubes would do the job: two across the top, two down the side, and it would even look professional if I could get them clean enough. After floundering around for 3 weeks, I felt that God had directed me to those forgotten dirty parts. We got to Montana, set up the rack, and they fit the table great, as you can see. I didn't have to cut the tubes down at all, but I had brought a saw just in case. After the weekend, we were to join some friends for bird watching up around Great Falls, but they called to say that they were unable to go because their daughter-in-law was being sent home from the hospital early after having an amputation, and she needed a wheelchair ramp. They'd actually found a ramp on Craigslist, which itself is a miracle, and I would think, in eastern Montana, small town, although he went to Sheridan, Wyoming to find it. But anyway, but they had planned to assemble it after our adventure up in bird watching. I could hear the conversation on Renee's phone. I asked, "They bought a ramp?" "Yes." "Is it aluminum?" "Yes." "Is it the Easy Access brand?" "Yes." "Oh, we got to come help you install this ramp." They live 200 miles east of the academy, but, you know, I'm an Easy Access ramp expert and knew they could use the help. There were other modifications in the home as well that we got to do, which was I didn't bring pictures of. They tried to get us not to come because they didn't want to ruin our vacation. It's been several years since I assembled one of these ramps. I couldn't believe they had bought exactly what they needed on Craigslist, but the seller had almost the exact same layout. That was a miracle that deserves its own testimony. I think it has its own testimony. It went well until we got to the connection. It's just me. It went well until we got to the connection where the handrails connect together on the turn platform. And also at the top by the house, the length of those short connecting handrails are always custom cut. And the ones that came with his Jeep's ramp, the ones that came with his used ramp were way too short. So as he was trying to think of a solution, I smoothly said, "Oh, I have what we need in the car." I walked over to my car knowing that I was going to pull out four brand new, uncut, easy access handrail tubes that are for that purpose. I love God. He has 1,000 ways to solve our dilemmas, and what a joy when we get to participate. Maybe there's some stories today of people that more encouragement. Here's the two at the top of the ramp. We needed four. Isn't that fun? I sense that when the latter rain comes, this will be nothing. We'll have greater experiences than these every day. Isn't that what you think? We have nothing to fear except we forget how God has led us in the past. Let's hold on to these stories for the courage they bring, and let's share them widely. I've heard a number of Pavel Goya sermons. I like it that Melissa mentioned Pavel Goya. Have you guys listened to Pavel Goya much? Yeah. His sermons where he describes dead churches with less than a dozen people attending that haven't had a baptism in years, and yet they become a powerhouse congregation for Jesus. You already know how they do it, right? Prayer. Dedicated people with a passion to save souls commit themselves to prayer. Usually it's just a small group. Another story I just heard was from Joseph Kidder. He became pastor of a church with just 9 people attending, and those 9 didn't like each other. No baptisms in 20 years, no evangelism in 26 years, no interest in evangelism. Can you imagine getting called to be the pastor of that church? Yet an 80-year-old member began praying for her neighbor, who was a wreck of a 25-year-old woman, making all bad life choices you can imagine. He says the 80-year-old didn't have much energy, much money, or really many outstanding talents. But God worked mightily in answer to her prayers, and the salvation of that young woman led to a dramatic vitalization of that church, with around 130 members added to the congregation. Don't you love these David and Goliath stories? Where lives are transformed and congregations unify and build stronger relationships with their Savior and with each other. But I want them to be Stone Tower stories. Is that wrong? These churches are not like Stone Tower. We have lots of activity in the community and among members. But is there more we could do to be all together and in one accord? Have we achieved what's required for the latter rain to be poured out on us so that we have the experience recorded in John 1:12? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Here's a cool story from the book Ellen G. White, The Early Elmshaven Years. It describes this largest crowd of Sabbath keepers ever assembled in the U.S. There was a lot of detail about how there was standing room only, even though there was standing room only in these meetings, even though there were meetings going on in other places at the same time that were also crowded. At 5:30 Tuesday morning, April 9th, Ellen White again gave the morning devotional study. Her topic was the need of missionary effort. She thanked the Lord that he was working in their midst and said that they could be so only when his people draw together. There seems to be in this meeting an endeavor to press together. This is the word which for the last 50 years I've heard from the angelic host, press together, press together. Let us try and do this. When in the spirit of Jesus we try to press together, putting ourselves out of sight, we shall find that the Holy Spirit will come in and the blessing of God will rest upon us. I know many members here are eager for a deeper walk with Christ. Ellen White said repeatedly that in unity there is strength, and she pleaded for people to press together. If we are to unify, I think we first need to know each other. The disciples spent 3.5 years together. They must have known each other pretty well. We spent a lot of Sabbaths in the same sanctuary, but I wouldn't say we know each other very well. In fact, if you feel like kind of an outsider, my many years of experience in groups tells me that's probably how most people feel. Um, It often looks like the people around you are great friends and closely connected, but really that's rarely true. Certainly our scripture reading does not describe our current connection. Here's the NIV reading of it, Acts 4:32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. So what am I suggesting? I'm suggesting it's time to pray deeply for the Holy Spirit and that we ask God to show us anything that is preventing us from receiving the latter rain. I'm suggesting we need to know each other. And some of the ways we can do that is by participating in things like women's ministry events, work bees, Sabbath fellowship, Sabbath school, social events. Thanks for all the hikes, Melissa. I don't even know where Melissa is. So, anyway, and door-to-door, of course. Those are just a few opportunities from just the last month. And sharing your testimony here today. People are getting acquainted with you through these activities and having fun and growing closer as a church family. Maybe we'll learn to love each other well enough so that we can have that upper room experience. Sounds scary, I know. And let's remember to pray. In Steps to Christ we read, "What can the angels of heaven think of poor, helpless human beings who are subject to temptation when God's heart of infinite love yearns toward them, ready to give them more than they can ask or think, and yet they pray so little and have so little faith? The angels love to bow before God. They love to be near him. They regard communion with God as their highest joy, and yet the children of earth, who need so much the help that God only can give, seem satisfied to walk without the light of his Spirit, the companionship of his presence." Guilty as charged. I need the help that God only can give. I want a deeper experience. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and have power to do what God desires. I've heard many of you say the same. This week we want to hear your testimonies, how God has been working in your lives. Last Sabbath, Pastor Bade spoke about prayers that lasted for hours. He said when you organize an all-night prayer session, people don't get sleepy. Have you ever experienced that? Share those testimonies. If you desire a deeper prayer experience, let's explore our options together. I'll see if we can carve out... I want to schedule 2 weeks from now, June 8th, right after church. I don't see anything on the calendar except Sabbath fellowship. But maybe we could get together. And between now and then, maybe we could be praying. What does God want for us? What does he want for the church in terms of prayer? If you dedicate your prayers between now and then to pray, and then maybe we could meet right after church and see what God has shown us. Maybe we'll all be shown the same thing, you know, that this is what we should do. Maybe we'll be shown that we should utilize the resources that we already have more fully. Maybe we should do a daily Zoom prayer. I don't know. If you're watching this from home, you are included as well. I'm no great prayer warrior, obviously, or prayer leader. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. But I know that among us, if we do manage to press together, God will supply everything we need. So next week in the Friday newsletter, I'll put that date for the following week, June 8th. We'll meet right after church, and maybe it's not a long meeting. I don't expect it to be, but we can discuss if God has shown us something that we should be doing that we're not currently doing. I'd like to close my section with Psalm 133:2. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. All right, so now we've got a microphone set up down here. We'd like to hear your testimonies. It would be best, most efficient, if you could come down here into these rows so you'd be right ready to get up. And it's nice to have you in front. But if you make me, I will bring you a microphone if you can't come up here for some reason. But anyway, please come on up and share your testimony. So here's the suggestions. Introduce yourself. Speak clearly into the microphone. Please try to keep under 5 minutes so others can share. So actually, Joy, after you, I wanted to invite Tarlene. So, but go ahead.
All right. My name is Joy. Joy Nunn. Can you hear me?
No, she's not on the green down here. It's on.
He's got Joy Nunn. As you know, my brother passed away on Thursday. Mm. And I wasn't going to cry.
I wasn't either.
I've been so strong. I got to talk to him quite a bit before he passed away. And we were estranged. He was in Arizona, living in the desert on BLM land, very hermit-like. But he told me when I talked to him that he had given his life to Jesus and that he had asked for forgiveness for his sins, which were many. He had abused drugs and done terrible things to our family. And most of us had not welcomed him back to our family because we couldn't trust him to be around us. And it was just our self-preservation. But I got to talk to him. And he bare his soul to me. And I told him, Wayne, I forgive you for all the things that you've done to us. I forgive you for hurting us, and I'm my sins were as much as his, and I needed to forgive him. And I believe the Lord, the Lord only knows his heart, but I believe that I will see him again. And I want to thank my church family on our website that we get together and ask for prayers, that you all were able to pray for my brother and me and my family. Just thank you so much.
It's working, Tarlene. So this is on a loop. These are pictures that Idell took, and Tarlene's going to tell us about what they did last Sabbath. Is that okay if I just loop them like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, you know, it was really amazing, honestly, because I honestly didn't even know what I was getting into. I was just invited by Cheryl Turndulum. I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name. Anyway, she signaled me and told me about this event. And then Shannon White also asked me, was I going to be going? And so I wasn't sure because I was recovering from the flu. And so, but the Lord just gave me the health to be get up and go. And it was so amazing. And there were about four churches together that came together on this event. And it was called Life Surge. And this is another testimony, because they didn't know how we were going to use the toilet. And so they hadn't planned that. And so I just prayed, said, Lord, I ask that you make a way somehow for every time we need to use a toilet, that we'll be able to come inside of that building, in and out of that building as we please. And I just left it up to him, and I walked up and said, can I use the toilet? And I said, we just come to use the toilet, and we're leaving. And they let me in. They let Idale in. They let Shannon in. They let us all in. And so, and not just that, but they also gave us a bracelet where we can come in and out. So this is the Lord's doing. So God is good. Anyway, that's Idale. You know, we were out and we were giving away at this event. It was a pretty large event, you know, where there were thousands of people that had come to see. I don't know if you guys ever seen this show on television called Duck Duck Go. Anyway, this Duck Dynasty. That's it. Duck, Duck, Go. I must be thinking about a child's little thing. Okay, Duck Dynasty. Yeah, so you guys may be, I'm sorry, guys. Anyway, this right here is, of course, you know, may know Joy Cho. She's also a member of the Sunday Adventist Church. And that's me showing off the amazing books that God given us. He says, and that's a gentleman who had come out of the event, and he was talking to a friend about how God calls us royalty. And I just happened to stand there and said, yeah, brother, you are royalty. Get over here. Let me show you what God is doing. I said, your civil liberties and your liberty of conscience is at stake. And Satan's about to come down in America like a roaring lion. And so we began to chat and everything like that. And the Holy Spirit convinced him to take a book. And I said, get over here with your good looking self and those pretty white teeth so we can get a picture of you. And hold that book up proudly. And so he did, he took a picture with Idale, with Shannon and Idale as well. And again, that is the group. And then there is, that's Shannon. She was part of Stone Tower Church. And then that right there is another young lady as well who also took a book. And she's part of Sunday Adventist Church. That's me all over again. But let's get to... Now, that's that gentleman again. I want to get to the young lady that's standing at the car. There were several. Anyway, there was another young lady that was standing at the car when you guys first saw the video that came up. That's her. And we began to talk, and she said, you know where democracy comes from? It comes from Roman Catholics, the Catholic Church. And then she says, you know where the Colosseums come from? They come from the Roman Catholic Church. So we began to talk. She said, are you talking about the one world? I said, yeah. I said, this book right here is the book for you, because God is going to open a way for you. As you've studied this book and take it to heart, God is going to use it in a mighty way, because God is looking for young people to finish the work. That's what I told her. And she said, I'm going to read this book. And the young man that was taking the book, he said, I'm going to read this book. And so there were several people that we had taken pictures of that I just gave me her camera, and I was just snapping pictures. And there was another gentleman that took the book. I don't see all the other pictures up there.
Yeah, there was a bunch of duplicates.
Yeah.
A couple others I probably took
out too. Yeah. Anyway, and so there was another gentleman that thought we were doing marketing. You know, that I said, stop this, I can take a picture of you. He said, I'm not sure if I want the book. He said, are you trying to market something? I said, nope, not marketing anything. This is simply free. And it's up to you to take it, or you can do whatever you want to do with it, but no marketing. So he's looking at the book, looking down at the book, and was deciding. And then there was another gentleman real quick who, a Russian gentleman, and I caught him. I watched him. It was like he was walking, but he was looking back at the tarp. We had to put a tarp over because it's raining. It rained the whole time we were there. Put a tarp over the boxes and everything, over the books. And so anyway, he kept looking back and seeing, like, what's under that tarp? And I ran after him. I was like, what are you looking at? What are you looking for? I can tell you what's under that tarp. And so anyway, I began to share with him what we were doing and everything like that, and the books and stuff like that. So he took a great controversy, and he took a Desire of Ages. I gave him those books. And then there was a couple of people that really engaged us. They stopped and engaged us because they knew something about Roman Catholicism. They knew something about what was happening in America. And so we gave out all of the great controversies. I don't know how many there were, but we gave them all out. Then we started the Sunny Law. Then we had Desire of Ages. We had the little book called The Mark of the Beast, which you put in every single great controversy. So it was really, really amazing and very wild. And so, yeah, there was some of the other people, that lady that was showing, with her fan and everything like that. But I just wanted to show you what God can do in an amazing way, if you're willing. He says, we need to stroll those out, give those out like the leaves of autumn, because he's coming very soon. So we were well received by the grace of God.
Amen.
I have two testimonies to give. It's going to be very short. But 3 weeks ago, I experienced a terrible, terrible pain. And this was Tuesday. And I was at night, and that terrible pain woke me up. And I already made my decision not to take pills. And I was in that so much pain that I was crying and crying. Something came to my mind, like that question was, what are you crying? And I said, oh Lord, I'm crying because it's so painful. It is painful, really painful. But I'm not going to take no pills. I won't take pills, And then that day in the morning, I memorized a Bible text. It is Isaiah 25, verse 1, and it says, the Lord, Jehovah is my Lord. I will exalt you and I will praise your name. And you have done wonderful things. That your counsels of all are truth and faithful. So I memorized that and then I remember and I start quoting that. And I said, Lord, you are my God. And I trust in you. And I will not take pills. I will not take pills. So please, Lord, help me. Help me and give me strength. And then it came the thought of those reformers. And I was studying, we were studying about that, and it came to my mind. They went through so much, and they were faithful. And then I started praising the Lord. I started praising him, exalting his name. And I trust in you, Lord. I know you are wonderful. Even though I have a pain, you are with me. And I started praising his name. And suddenly, I forgot all about my pain. I forgot all about my pain. And I sense a peace. And I started smiling. But that sense was the presence of the Lord. And I said, oh, Lord, now I understand why those people went through that. Because they felt your presence so close to you. So that was my experience with the pain. I still have some pain, but it's not as sharp as that. And the Lord is healing me. It's taking time, but I'm trusting in God. I'm still firm in those. I'm not taking pills. I'm doing what is natural. And last Tuesday, we ended up on the ER because of my husband, pressure went too high. And while I was waiting there, it was a girl. It was many people, so I talked to some of them, but they were not ready to talk. But it was a girl that was, and I said, excuse me, what's wrong with you? And she said, oh, I have a terrible, terrible headache. And I said, oh, so we have a little conversation. And then I said, I should ask her about God. And I said, I'm going to do it, Lord. So I said, do you believe in God? And she looked at me, what? Do I believe in God? Yes, I do believe in God. See the world. And she started telling me things. I said, okay. If you believe in God, do you allow me to pray for you? And she goes, you know, I'm a Muslim. It's okay. I can pray for you, And then they say, where are you praying for me? Here? I say, yes, the Lord can hear our prayers. And then she said, okay. She smiled. And then I pray. I was exalting God the Father first, but I finished with Jesus Christ. And then she said, well, how can you believe in Jesus being God? You know the question. And I said, well, have you read the Bible? And she said, no, of course not. And I said, well, I have read the Bible. And the Bible teach me that Jesus was 100% man, but 100% God. And I believe in that. And then she changed for that, and she went to, well, Christian, how Christians drink and smoke and do all those things? And I said, you know, people can distort the word of God. But let me tell you, I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I don't eat pork. Actually, I don't eat meat. And she goes, wow, she smiles. And that told me that she had met Christians, and I'm in the path. I still not perfect, but I, like Paul said, I go. You know, my goal is get there. And she smiles. So she recognized that there are Christians just for that testimony. And I praise God for that because I was able to share with a Muslim Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hi, brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath. I don't know how long this is going to take me, but I'm going to try. You know, I've been working in the schools as a custodian, so that gave me the opportunity to go from school to school as a temp. So I'm meeting a lot of people, which is good for what we do. I met this lady at this school, and she's from Mexico, and she's one of the secretaries, and that day we didn't have a school, but she was working, and I come to the office, and I was cleaning, and I say her, hey, hola, how are you? Then she say, I never see you here. I said, oh, this is my second day. So we start talking. I ended up knowing her name. Her name is Carmi. Really nice lady, young, and anyway, time passed, and we started talking about the Bible, and she told me that she was a teacher. She was teaching kids from middle age at the church, at her church, Catholic church, and to make sure, I asked her, so, do you teach him with the Bible, or do you teach him with the book the Catholic Church use? I don't remember the name. What's that? Catechismo, I asked. Then she said, well, you know, I asked for Bibles to the person in charge, but they say they don't have money for Bibles, so I use the Catechismo. And I said, what? That's not good. You need a spade. I say like that. What do you mean? She says. I said, you don't know what is the spade? And she said, no, I don't know what is that. What is the spade? And I said, the spade is the word of God. You need that. If you want to teach your children, you need that. Then, and I asked her, how many kids do you have? How many kids are you teaching? And she said, well, probably it's like 40. And I said, okay, let's do something. And she said, what? I will buy you 20 Bibles. And you can buy the rest. And she said, will you do that for me? I said, of course. Of course, because these kids, they need to have their armor, cover up themselves. Because, you know, we live in hard times right now. And she said, yes, I know. I believe you. I think a lot of things are happening because Jesus is coming soon. And I said, praise the Lord, you know. And she said, well. So we ended up talking a lot of what's happening in the world. And she's believing that something is coming. and to make sure I buy the Bibles. And 1 week later, I told her, I have new Bibles. For that time, they already transferred me from another school. But I keep my word. And she said, well, give me your address, and now we come by and get it. I said, okay. So, and I have a great controversy book. And so she came to pick up the Bibles. I give it to her. And I asked her, hey, you wanna open every single Bible and write something for your student so they can keep it and they can say, oh, my teacher gave it to me. So they can hold into that. And I said, and I'm going to give you a book for yourself, The Great Controversy. And she said, oh, I heard a lot about this book. Somebody told me it's a really good book. And I said, well, it really, really is. So I'm going to give it to you for free. And she said, really? I said, yeah, you're going to read it. And she said, I'm very grateful and I'm going to be very happy to read it. I said, okay. And she got my contact, my number. She know where I live. And I pray for her. Like I say, her name is Carmi. And I ask you guys to pray for her and for those kids that she's teaching them. And I have another one. You want me to share the next one or not? Okay. So pray for her, please, and keep praying for me because God uses whatever wants to be used.
Amen. How about David? Oh. While you were waiting.
Oh,
patiently
thank
back
you.
There. Take this so I have a mic.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
Hi, my name is David Champion, and I'm with the Kearns Neighborhood Association. Some of you are saying, we know you. That's because of the Kearns Picnic every year. I'm the coordinator of it. Yep, hi. And anyway, I'm up here kind of because one prayer was answered and about three or four were not. I've been praying for long to come here, but this morning when I actually managed to get here, I'm not dressed for this. And I was hoping no one would recognize me. That didn't work out. I was hoping that they would talk about something in Bible study that I wouldn't be interested in. That didn't work out. I did participate. And I was hoping Elder Kenny wouldn't recognize me. That didn't work out. And here I am. Anyway, and I want to tell you what it meant to have Stone Tower participate in the neighborhood picnic. A lot of people saying, this wasn't a big deal. This wasn't just a secular event. No, it was a lot more than that. One of my favorite stories to teach to kids, I worked with this ministry for over 20 years, is a story of Nehemiah and the building of the wall around Jerusalem. One family built this section, and the priests over here built this section, and these guys over here built this section. Everyone had their own responsibility, but as a consequence, something that benefited the entire community of Jerusalem, the wall was built. Now, what happens to the Kearns Picnic every year? Stone Tower provides some volunteer help and awesome vegan ice cream. That's something. Trinity, your neighbors across the street, provide the tables and chairs. Okay. The Greek Orthodox Church supplied $500 for expenses to picnic. And alongsiders, on some occasions, has come and helped us set up different parts of the neighborhood community. The faith community in this neighborhood came together, each had their own role, but as a result, a community objective, having a day we could all celebrate being part of the same community, was met. And of course, people say, well, how does this do the Spirit? Well, a great deal. Number one, my favorite hymns growing up was, they'll know we are Christians by our love. And everyone who participated, let them know they're Christians, and from Christian communities, through their love, they supplied that picnic. Also, there's also, you might, from Ecclesiastes, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted. There are times, I think it was Janine talked about having an event for church members. That's great. You should have some things that are for church members. But also times when you have your community involved in a program that is not explicitly Christian, like the picnic. There is a time when you're about what's happening here at Stone Tower, about your particular theology, your particular beliefs, your particular practices. And there is a time when we're together. Yes, we in neighborhoods have our own interests. Each of us do. But there are times when our interests jive. You have an interest in a clean Oregon park where there's no litter or broken glass, just as much as Trinity across the street, just as much as your neighbors down the street, and yes, just as much as the cannabis shop down the street. On those interests, everyone's interests jive. And that's what we need to work together. I will say this, so how often do we fulfill a divine appointment and not know it, Elder Kenny brought up? Well, the one time we may not know that you did was the neighborhood picnic. Thank you. And like I said, love lived in me, and all I have needed, thou hast provided. God worked the people here at Stone Tower and other churches in this neighborhood to achieve a major community success. And people, what was the benefit of Stone Tower? People, one person from Stone Tower said they liked doing this, but they said, some of our neighbors are a little hostile. Yes, some of your neighbors are hostile. Undeniably. But they know you a little bit better than before. One of the vice president of our the neighborhood association said, I didn't know that the SDA church promotes vegetarianism. And they said, well, how do you feel? They said, well, I can't imagine being vegetarian, but I never imagined there was such a thing as a really good vegan ice cream. So the Lord moves in mysterious ways, and the picnic was one of those times when it did. Thank you.
Bradley Nunn, Joy and I pray for our neighbors by name. We have 12 neighbors that are right around our house that we pray for most days. And you heard my prayer before most mornings is, Lord, show me who to help and how to help them. And so, you know, the challenge that I have is knowing it's God's voice and not just the own musings in my head. You know, I have a lot of ideas, and I'm not sure which ones are God's and which ones are mine all the time. And so I may be a little hesitant to act. In our environment, in our neighborhood, the neighbors don't see each other as much as we used to. When I was a kid, you know, everybody's outside mowing your yard, everybody's washing their car, everybody's doing stuff, you know, and you see your neighbors all the time. Today it seems like it's a little less, you don't see them as often. So, I come down and put my garbage cans out on Fridays and pick them up in the afternoon, and I saw my neighbor in his garage. He didn't see me, so I kind of fuddled around down there waiting for him to come out of his garage. And he finally did after I looked in my cans about three times to see if they were empty. And he comes out and I walk over, introduce myself. They had just moved in. They had been activity down there for a few weeks, but they actually just moved in that day. It was going to be their first night there. I introduced myself. He told me a little bit about him. I told him this great weather we were having was just a teaser, that it was going to start raining again. Don't get used to it yet, which it did. And we chatted a little bit more. He told me his life story, where they'd lived, why they moved here. And I went back up to my house. And the next week I came down, and it was in the afternoon. I saw him out of the corner of my eye on the side of his house. He was hiding a little bit because he was grooming his dog and letting all the hair go everywhere. I think he was embarrassed. He was grooming his dog outside. Anyway, I don't know if he saw me, but I hung around again and waited for him to see me. and waved at him. And then he came out. We started chatting. And then his wife and daughter came out, and they introduced me to them. And I said, hey, my church group is going on a hike tomorrow. You guys are new in town. This is a great hike. It's just a few miles from here. Would you like to come? And he was like, oh, yeah, we really want to get out and learn about the area. And he says, we're busy tomorrow, but that sounds really great. And his wife, like, she just lit up when I said church group. She says, you go to church around here? And I said, no, we go to church in downtown Portland. And she says, you know, we've been looking for a new church to go to. We don't know where to go to church. And so I said, we chatted a little bit more about that. And I said, you know, we're putting together a little Bible study. We meet at night at our house in the evenings, and we just read a chapter in the Bible, pray, and talk about it. She goes, oh, man, that sounds fantastic. I'd love to come. Let us know. Keep us updated on hiking and on your Bible study group. That was it. You know, I've asked three of my neighbors to join us in Bible study. Everyone said yes. You remember the five myths we talked about last year? The first one was people aren't open to the gospel. That myth is blown out, right? You remember the poll that was taken? 73% of the people, just random people, if you asked them to come to a meeting where they would learn about how to have a relationship with God, they'd go, if you just ask them. The Holy Spirit, you know, he's just putting us together. We don't know. We can't see if somebody says, I'm ready. There's no sign that says, I'm ready. So we just got to share the seed wildly. Just have fun with it. There's nothing wrong with me saying, hey, I'm putting a little Bible study together. Would you like to come? Or my church group goes hiking. Would you like to come? You know, we have all these invitations to Bible study. And we have 5,000 of them for us as members to hand out. Now, I know Tarlene will do about 1,000 of them in a week. So you guys better grab yours that are there and just start sowing the seed wildly and see what the Lord's going to do. And in a month or two, you're going to come back with all these stories about how the Holy Spirit is putting you together with people that the Holy Spirit's been working with. And you're going to see lives changed because you're just going to be willing to step out a little bit.
Good afternoon. I don't remember the rules, but Sue Lee, I have to say that this idea of wanting to pray, press together, it's becoming much more palpable, and it's a praise to God. I didn't really know I was going to come up here and speak, but something amazing did happen literally Thursday. Part of it, I think, is for my dear parents. They, even at their age, they never complain, and they are still working. And, you know, we always have this fun biblical joke at our house, like the fourth commandment, it always says, 6 days you work, seventh for rest. So if you don't work 6 days, you're breaking the fourth commandment too. So they are just, they're chugging along. And as a unit, the three of us, we pray all the time for every person that comes through the clinic. And yes, Thursday was such a shocking surprise to us three. It was such an encouragement. God, I think, knew that we needed it. There's a patient that hasn't been there, graduated out of our clinic, everything. We didn't know what had happened. And then all of a sudden came in Thursday, and we couldn't even recognize her. It was night and day. When she was coming for medical care, I know that there was some very difficult moments, even to the point of suicide. And she literally tells the waiting room, like literally the patients are all there, and says, if it wasn't for Dr. Lee and staff, I wouldn't be here. And she's sharing her story, like literally just, and she doesn't know anyone else there, but they're just all sitting there going, wow, wow. And it was so incredible to see that change in her, how our prayers have helped her and her trajectory in life. It has completely changed. And specifically back in the day when she was an actual patient, her name is in the Bible. I won't say what it is, so you'll have to figure that out yourself. I don't want to share that, divulge that info, but the name is biblical. And at that time, my dear mom had pinpointed that out. And yesterday or Thursday when she came, she remembers that and says it back and says, I remember when you said this. And it was so incredible. At our clinic, we have for 30 plus years, 35 plus years, these booklets, Steps to Christ, The Glow, the little booklets from It Is Written, Voice of Prophecy, Stephen Wahlberg, all these things in the waiting room, and they can take it free. And every single time we're praying, God, you plant those seeds, you guard it, you grow it. We're just part of that process, but it was so incredible. It's like that story of the lepers being healed, and one comes back to say thank you in such a big way. There was a need for some kind of certification medically, which is fine. We totally help with that. But the fact that they remembered and came back, and coincidentally, we try to keep in touch with any person that comes through our clinic that is spiritually open. And there's been here several times, several have come through. And so you never know. So we really encourage all the people here at this church to show Christian courtesy, human decency 101, common courtesy, friendliness, you know, all of that stuff. So it's just encouraging this, you know, testimony time, the elders being, and the rest of the congregation wanting to be more committed to prayer. But not just any prayer. It's specifically, Holy Spirit, we need your power. We need your help. We can't do this on our own. And miraculously, when there's a need, God will fulfill, which is what those themes are in Jem Castor, who's been here many times. Pavel Goy, I think, even came to this church before. So it's this common theme, like, let's press together, pray together, and let Jesus and Holy Spirit do the miracle in this. And it's incredible, Mr. David, that you came and you encouraged us. That was amazing. So thank you. Praise God.
So can you hear me? My testimony is not anything grand, and compared to what we've heard today, I haven't had any divine appointments, but I think God works a different how do you say it? He works maybe more slowly with some of us, and I'm one of those. I'm not ready, perhaps, for a divine appointment. I need to learn quite a bit more, even though I've been around here for a long, long time. I'm just dense or just hard-headed, or I don't know what I am. But anyway, what I have to say is significant because little things really matter. You know, sometimes I think we've even been taught that, you know, we don't see the miracles and we don't see the things that happen to us because they seem so insignificant, but it's in the insignificant that it could be ultra, ultra significant. So therefore, my little testimony, I have to read something first. I'm reading from Isaiah, chapter am I in? Isaiah 65, verse 24. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. That's major, isn't it? It's big. It's a little teeny little big verse. Anyway, here's my little testimony. I started a little prayer book, and some of the prayers that are in there, actually practically all of the prayers that are in there have come true. And some of them were very significant prayers, like an estranged sister coming back into my life after over 40 years. That's major for me. Anyway, this is a little one. They keep talking about the real ID, which is not necessary until 2025. And you will need that ID if you travel domestically. No, if you drive and if you travel domestically, because they won't be accepting the regular ID. I'm sure you probably have heard of that or read about that. I don't drive, and I have a passport, so that gets me through any airport. And I do have an Oregon ID that looks like a driver's ID, and that does that does expire. So I needed to know, does it expire soon or when or whatever? That's not really important, except that you have to pay more money. And I don't want to pay more money for an ID right now if it still has a couple of years or whatever. And so I was going to write, I suddenly, because they were talking about the real ID, I thought, where is my ID? Usually it's where I always put it, in my little suitcase. I have a little suitcase with little cards. Anyway, it wasn't in there. I thought, God, where is it? Where is it? I couldn't find it. I had no idea. So I started to, like I always do when I misplace something in the house, I deep clean. You ransack everything. And as you ransack, you pray and you hope that you're going to find whatever you're missing there. Well, this time I was going to go to the, my living room table has a lot of books from here, a lot of Christian's material. And I said, where should I look there? Because it wasn't upstairs. I have an up and a down, so that's hard if you don't even know where to start. Anyway, I was going to eventually put it in my little prayer, a little booklet, and I didn't get a chance to do it because I had a lot of gardening, a lot of weed pulling to do, basically. And the other day, I just walked across to the table. I wasn't thinking about the ID because it's not the most important thing. And I said, well, let me just go over here. And my friend gave me a little Bible. It's like a teeny little squarish rectangular Bible, black Bible. And it was partially open. I didn't think. It wasn't logical. It wasn't conscious. But I said, well, let me look in the Bible. I looked in my little Bible, and voila, there was my ID. That's a little teeny thing, but it's big, because you know what? It's got 2 more years. I don't have to pay for anything for another 2 years. Thank you.
Okay, sorry. I lost my voice yesterday, so I was going to tell you about James today, actually. It's closer. I don't like this. It's actually strange. I've been praying that we could get together to go over the Bible studies with him, and he's put it off and saying he didn't want to do this, he didn't want to do that. This morning, I did not get to see him, which was strange because he caught the earlier train. And I think in a way it was God's leading that we didn't actually see each other today, because he texted me and asked me if I was going to be on the train. And I had to say, no, I wasn't on it, because I was like, I don't get on the train that early in the morning. And so we texted back and forth for a little while, and I had given him a different lesson, a Bible lesson, and he actually said he had looked it over and he found it interesting. And I texted back and said, would you like to get together and talk about it? And I said, I'm free any day this next week except for a couple of days. And he actually, it was about 15 minutes later before he actually texted back and said, he said that this Friday he was willing to get together. So, thanks.
Harold Lee, I came here not as a presiding elder, but as a member. And as you know, the 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, says, preach the word. And be instant, in season or out of season. Instant means what? Right away. Ready. Yeah. So we heard a lot of great testimony today. And when I look at my life, I think I have to confess that I wasted a lot of my life more than productive. But I'm trying to live my life from now, today, until Jesus come, or until my last breath, to be ready to preach the word, whether it's out of season or in season, because I want to see each and everyone that I meet is a candidate for God's kingdom, because I was like that before. And I need your prayer for me, because I have one burden in my life, especially for my family, because I was the only one who came to know Christianity and also become an Adventist. I was accused or blamed as you're joining cult, you lose your life, you use your future. And so this type of tension that I went through when I first become Christian, especially Adventist. And so God put me a burden, and this year, probably next month and the following month, I will meet two of my family members. One is my brother, younger brother. He used to, when I was living in Ann Arbor, Michigan, he actually came to live with us for a while and joined the church had a great time, but now he's retired. So I said, let's meet together, and he says, okay. So I need if you think about your prayer, think about my plan. And the other person is my sister-in-law living in Philadelphia. And she's the wife of my eldest brother. And she's American. My brother is Korean. And in our culture at the time, when I was young, when they got married, it really hurt my parents or my mother, because in her mind, this marriage, you know, American and American Korean, it's no. And so I don't know what happened, but she's well educated. She went to the Juilliard Music Conservative, and she had a PhD in music. But now she's over 80, and I haven't talked with her for several years, and I finally I decided to call her. And initially I couldn't get hold of her, but through some email, and I connected with her. I praise God for that. And she happened to be in a recovery sort of semi-nursing home because she had some injury. And I heard it was the area that I was able to help. So I communicated, we're going to probably visit you. And she's excited. I'm excited too. I think when we have a somebody in our life that I wanted to connect, God always opened the door, I think. I didn't know that in the past. I'm so regret wasting of my life. Most of you are younger than me. So don't waste your time. Bible says redeem your time. Redeem your time. So may all of us to be a fishers of men, right? As I shared many times, when Jesus said to Peter, you no longer become fishermen. You are now becoming fishers of men. What are the difference between fishermen and fishers of men? Fisherman is the one who catch the live one and kill it. That's a fisherman. But fishers of men is what? Catch the dead person to make them to come to Jesus Christ and finally make them living. That's the difference. And you and I, we all called to be what? Fishers of men. Yeah. That's what, you know, Elder Brett and that we all elders, today's sermon, such a great sermon that I was thrilled in my life. So may God bless each and every one of you. And God has a plan in your minds that you need to contact with somebody. So that's what we have to listen to, the power of the Holy Spirit teaching to us. And I'm gonna preach in a couple of weeks about the Jonah. And I might invite some of my friends. Last time, 11 people came. I wish all of you go out to see if today, even when you look at each other, if there's somebody you haven't talked, go and grab their hands and shake and just at least share together. You know, this church has to be warmer, not colder, okay? Because God wants to either you hot or cold. Don't become a lukewarm. May God bless all of us. Thank you.
Oh, what a great way to end our testimony time. Janine? I can't hear you. Oh, there's you guys? Oh. Come on over.
This is a text about the life of Jesus, and I want you to try and think of what this is speaking about. It says his power was put forth. Who do you think? Who's this talking about? His power was put forth. What example is this? Maybe the feeding of the 5,000, his power was put forth. Any other guesses? The woman, yeah, his power was put forth. And we know that when Jesus' power was put forth, there were effects of that. People's lives were changed. As was said, the dead were made alive. Those are good examples. But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about Jesus changing the water to wine. And I mentioned this to remind all of us that when we enter into Christ, we enter into rest. We don't enter into work. And some of the work that I've given myself personally is thinking that in order to help someone, I need to sit them down with a Bible. And at the end of that, they get in the water and they're baptized. But his power was put forth, it says, to add to the joy of a wedding feast. So anytime we do something out of love and kindness for others, it can be said that God through us, his power was put forth. I have thought that I'm incapable of reaching people because I don't know enough. What if they have questions I can't answer? What if they have issues I cannot resolve, I don't have the answers to? When you do acts of kindness for people, that is the power of God being put forth. And we know when God's power goes forth, it is saving. So when we're kind to people, that is the power of God. We can start now and put God's power forth. And I'll just to close it out, I'll read it. At a household gathering in a little Galilean village, his power was put forth to add to the joy of a wedding feast. Thus, he showed his sympathy with men and his desire to minister to their happiness. In the wilderness of temptation, he himself had drunk the cup of woe. He came forth to give men the cup of blessing by his benediction to hollow the relations of human life. So do not think yourself insignificant because you don't know enough. Because I don't think the people at the wedding feast who put the water in the, cistern? In the vases, they would not say, hey, let me tell you a testimony of what I did. I put water in a cup. But they were a part of God's blessing. So don't think yourself insignificant, that you cannot be used, because God's power was put forth to add to the joy of a wedding feast. Amen.
All right, good morning, Sabbath blessings. I'll try to make this quick. It's kind of a long story, but I'll try to get through it and have it make sense. My name's Greg, G-R-E-G. I usually spell my name because I say it and people don't understand what I'm saying. They say Ray, Gary, Rick. No, it's like, no, Greg, G-R-E-G. Oh, okay. All right, so in the middle of the word atheist, what do you see there? Between the two T's, what do you see? He is. Amen. I'm going to show you who he is today. So someone that, longtime coworker or previous coworker, we both worked at a level one trauma center, saw some pretty horrific things there. She let me know that she and many others would go home after work and self-medicate to cope with what they saw at work. One night after self-medicating, she got on the road in a car. She got in an accident. The people in the other car all got put in the ICU. She also got put in the hospital, had some minor injuries, but she lost her driver's license. She lost her nursing license. She got put in jail. She got brought up on charges, and there was most likely a civil case that was coming up, and she was going to owe millions of dollars from that. So she began to sell off things once she got out of jail. She began to sell off things. She had a very expensive car. She met this boyfriend in AA, put it in his name so it wouldn't be taken from her, and he wound up driving away in it. So there was just like this constant downward spiral that she was going through, and I just kept praying, Lord, I don't know everything that she's experiencing, but just looking from the outside, just keep her from taking her life. And I really had to pray once we got in contact, and she would tell me things that she was going through. I really had to pray, Lord, help my ears and help my mind to deal with the things that she's telling me, because they were something else. So we would contact each other like every couple of months just to, you know, see how she was doing, and I would tell her how I was doing. And one day I tried to contact her and didn't get a response. And I contacted her again, didn't get a response. So a little time went by, contacted her again, no response. And I think that started in July of last year and went all the way to December. And I just finally just left it in the Lord's hands. I just said, Lord, you know if she's still living or not. And if she is, you know where she is and what's going on. And only you can take care of it. So a month ago, there was a message on my phone from a phone number that I didn't recognize, and there was a message, and it said, Greg, I lost contact with you. So I was like, okay, at least she's alive. She was like, I was in a treatment center for 10 months, and a couple of weeks from now, I will not have had alcohol, a drop of alcohol, for almost a year, or for a year now. I got my license back, and I'm just asking for you to be a reference. So I was like, sure. I called her back, and she was like, oh, yeah, I already have all my references. Everything worked out. So I was like, praise God. I forgot to tell you, the whole reason why I said atheist in the beginning is because through this whole thing, she's an atheist. Sorry, I'm trying to make sense of it and speed through it. We get to talking, and I tell her, I was like, hey, you know what? I met someone else that I haven't seen, or I ran into someone that I haven't seen in like many years. She's also an atheist. She's a nurse, and she's going through a rough time right now. And she's like, yeah, haha, very funny. Stop talking about me. And I'm like, no, I'm serious. There's someone else that I ran into from my past. And she started saying some things like, you know, I'm going through steps 2 and 3 in my life. And I'm like, what does that mean? I was like, are you telling me not to give up on her? You know, and she was like, well, maybe God's trying to tell you something. And I'm like, what? It's like, isn't she an atheist? And she wrote back and said, well, all I can say is it takes what it takes for people to receive God. And before, any time she wrote God, it was lowercase G-O-D. This time it's capital G-O-D. And that can even be a gift of desperation. But you're still being given a gift, and you must be open to receiving it. Today I have hope, and she can make it if she wants to badly enough. And once again, I say, between the two T's and the word atheist, you have he is. And he is. Praise God.